we at? We're at Seneca Bible Baptist Church this morning. And we will be in the book of Ephesians this morning. I gave this message some thought. Ephesians chapter 2. While we were at Sight and Sound, some of us took a bus trip and got to see, you know, some Amish country, some Mennonite country. One of the things the bus driver said, because he was given all the detail and everything, he says, the folks around there, the Mennonites and the Amish, they lived their lives upon works, on getting to heaven. And I began to think about that, and I began to resonate in my heart, and I began to think about my own salvation. I know that I'm 100% saved from the Word of God. Not anything that I have done, but what Jesus had done. And I began to think about those people that are honestly working hard, right? But going nowhere, if that makes sense. And the Lord began to just really push upon my heart about preaching out of Ephesians chapter 2. And I said, Lord, they know it. They know Ephesians chapter 2. Do you know it? And he said, just preach Ephesians chapter 2, Paul. And I said, but they know it. If they are saved, they know it. And he says, how do you know it? I can't see upon your heart. The only person that I know that is saved is me. Pastor says it all the time. We all may be working a work to make it look like we're saved, but are we? So if we could stand for the reading of God's Word, I'm going to read not the entire book of Ephesians, but just the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be quick this morning. I just want to point out a few things in Ephesians chapter 2. And I was just going to preach on Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, and that's the only thing that I was going to preach on. But yesterday the Lord said, read the entire chapter, Paul, before you start preparing. I said, okay. And as I began to read just the first couple of verses of Ephesians 2, how can I not preach about that either? Or verse 3, or 4, or 5, or 6, or 7. Including chapter 10. It's all good. Ephesians chapter 2, we all there? Amen. Starting in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. Lord, we do thank you and praise you so much for the King James Bible. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we have this church. I thank you, dear God, for our pastor that is so willing to stick by the stuff and to preach the King James Bible, to preach the whole counsel of God. Father, and I do pray for our pastor this morning as he's preaching now that you please be with him, as he might be nervous, that you just comfort him, Lord. Comfort those people in Puerto Rico. Father, I pray that you would also do a work here this morning. Father, I pray that you would help me to say what I need to say. Father, I pray that you'd keep me from saying what I should not say. Father, I pray that you just be happy, dear God, with this message. I pray, dear God, that you would be moving in the hearts and the minds of those that are here. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that there is only one way to heaven. I'm so thankful, dear God, that it's not a complicated way, but we make it complicated. Father, so I pray, dear God, that if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that has not truly trusted in your life, your death, your burial, and your resurrection, Lord, that they would choose that today. Father, we love you so much this morning. We thank you again, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Since the beginning of time, there has been two ways of seeking redemption. Has there not? Those two ways are through works or through faith. Does that make sense? There is, how can I say it, Cain and Abel, right? There are two offerings. Men were born into this world with a void. And if you know what I'm talking about, say amen. There's a void when we were born, and when we became the age of Noah, there was a void in this man's heart. There's a void in every single person's heart that is born. An empty place within the heart that man is ever so trying so hard to fulfill. And we see that each and every day as we turn upon the news and we look upon the world. We talk to somebody every single day that is going through some kind of troubling time. Amen? And they are seeking something to fill that void, that emptiness that's in there. And they just can't find it. So where do they reach out? They reach out to drugs. They reach out to alcohol. They reach out to pornography. They reach out to fornication. Listen, folks. There's a void in man that there's every single day that they're trying to fill. People attempt all different ways, do they not? Worldly pleasures. But not only worldly pleasures, what about religion? We can look at the world and be like, oh, man, those are sinners. Right? The druggers, the drunkards, the murderers, the child molesters. Listen, the rapist, the thief, and then the other sinner that you can think of that is a bad sin. But can I mention this morning also that there is religion? Religion is sending just as many people to hell as those other sins. Why? Because they are believing upon their own understanding. As I mentioned, those drunks, drug addicts, harlots, child molesters, all them, yes, if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. But so are those who are trapped listen, that are trapped in a false religion. Regardless of how sincere they may be. You ever met somebody that is so sincere about their belief, you're not going to change their mind. You can show them Scripture till you're blue in the face, but they truly believe what they believe and there's no change in it. Whether they be Muslim, whether they be Hindu, whether they be Jewish, a humanist, an atheist, an agnostic, a Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, a Seventh-day Adventist, and also, listen up, a Baptist. Baptists fall in the same line as any of those other religions. Why? Because if you're believing upon a sect of rules or traditions from the church, can I tell you something this morning? You're lost. You're lost and going to hell. Remember I said that this message sparked a fire within me when we were on that bus ride. And that bus driver said that all the Mennonite and Amish are trying to work their way into heaven. It's all a works religion. And I began to think within myself, but man, they work hard at it. They truly work hard at it. Not only in their jobs, but I'm pretty sure they work hard at their religion and trying to follow what is being passed down and what they're being told. Can I be okay by saying this morning, how about your religion? Do you have just religion? I hope you don't have just religion this morning. Religion is not going to do it. Ephesians, Paul founded the church during his second missionary trip. You know, also Ephesians is one of the prison epistles. The others are Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. After spending 18 months, which is a year and 6 months, in Corinth, in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 11, you can read that at your own, he visited Ephesus with Aquila and Priscilla. We all know them, don't we not? And that was in Acts 18, verse 18. Although Paul's stay was short, but promised to return in Acts chapter 18 and verse 19 to 21. Paul then returned on his third missionary journey and his trip and stayed about 3 years in Acts chapter 19 and verse number 20. So Ephesians was written from Rome, right? From prison in about 64 AD by Paul. And I already said that since the beginning of time, men have been seeking their own redemption from guilt and from sin. And I wrote in my notes, where do you stand this morning? It's only a question that you can ask. But as the Lord began to work on my heart, I already said that I wanted to preach just from verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I wanted to spend the entire sermon on just those two verses. The Lord said, no, you don't spend all the time on those two verses, because there are 7 verses before that. And there are 1 verse after that that I want you to mention. So as in Sunday school, I kind of stopped where I was at this morning, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to preach until the message is finished. And I pray that you forgive me if we go over 12 o'clock, because we may go over 12 o'clock. But there is nowhere better, I don't even know if I said that right, is to be in the house of God under the preaching of the word. Amen? and getting what God needs for us. It's a shame when we could sit in a pew and be like, is this over yet? We should never think that way. I mean, think about it. You spend, if you come to Sunday school, it's 9:45 to 12 o'clock. What is that, a couple of hours? And some of us, forgive me, some of us, those are the only hours that we give to God. But we want to get out of here. Why? Because we got religion. We don't have the Savior. Because if you got the Savior, I tell you what, when Brother Harmon comes to preach, he doesn't follow the clock. I hope you know that. He preaches until he's done. And guess what? That's from a Sunday to a Friday. I hope you like preaching because you're going to get some. But as I said, we got to look at these first 10 verses. And what the Lord had put upon my heart. I'm just going to go through the verses. I've really never done what kind of preaching you want to call that? Yes, that. It's kind of like that, but isn't. But as I'm reading these, God gave me some things. In verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, that's what we were. Think about that. Look at those verses. If you are saved, born again, a child of God, that's what you were. That's what I was. Hop down to verse number 11 real quick. The Bible says, wherefore what? Remember. When I got to verse 11, that's where God says, look, you need to read the first 10 verses. He says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Remember that, and you hath he. Who's he? He. Who's he? Listen, who is he? He hath quickened. You did nothing. It was all God. It was all Jesus Christ that did it all. Who hath he quickened that were dead in trespasses and sins? You not only were dead physically coming up, you were dead spiritually. Not knowing it maybe, but man, without Jesus Christ, you are spending eternity without him in a place called, we all know where that place is called. And if you don't know, it's not a good place. What we were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a separation from you and God. Amen? There was a separation. Listen, I remember my life. I cannot picture my life. Listen, if you're saved, I can't picture my life without Jesus Christ anymore. I cannot picture myself. It's only by his grace and mercy that I keep going for him, and you keep going for him. Listen, I can't picture myself turning my back on him and just walking away for all that he's done. For what he hath quickened me from my trespasses and sins. Against who? Against him. He is a good God this morning. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and verse number 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you between your God, between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from God. If you're here this morning and you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not saved, you're not born again, you're not a child of God, listen up this morning, because of your sins and your transgression, you have a separation from God right now. And you need to get that straightened out. Christian, the same goes for you. The same goes for me. But if you have iniquity and sin in your life, guess what? God is, the Bible says that he will not what? Hear until you get that right. There's a separation. You ever seen a little boy get separated from his mom? Come to my house and you'll see what happens when a little boy gets separated from that mom right over there. He'll go nuts. Or if I leave, he goes nuts. Both of the boys were like that. Listen, if I don't say goodbye or give those boys a hug before I leave, let me tell you something. They know there's a separation there. Dad's not there. Are you listening to me this morning? You need God in your life. There's a separation in your life because of sin. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 2. Remember what we were. This is what we were. Let's see what else is there in that verse. In verse number 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. You had a different daddy back then. Your daddy was the devil. And you did what he told you to do, whether you knew it or not. Because the Bible says that according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We have children in this church, listen, that are not saved, that are not born again, and if they die, guess where they're going? Why? Because their father is the devil, and he worketh in the children of disobedience, and it's our job as the church is to make sure these kids do get saved. But how can they get saved if us Christians, maybe us religion people, are not showing them how to get saved? Listen, I love my kids so much, and I don't want none of them to go to hell. Do you want any of these kids to go to hell? Not one. Not one. But guess what? Satan is their daddy. Satan was your daddy. You walked as he wanted you to walk. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which what believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen, if we're not getting the gospel out, folks, listen. This world's going to have a daddy. I want to share my daddy with them. I want to share my Lord and Savior with them. But if the glorious light of the gospel is not shared to them that which believe not, what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. Ephesians, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. So you were dead in trespasses and sins. Satan was your daddy. Verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You're the children of wrath. The Bible tells us that. Not only by nature, but by choice. You know, we were born into this sin-natured world, amen? But how many of us, listen, sin by choice? You know if you're sinning or not. You know if you're going against the Holy One of God or not. You know if you just have plain religion or not. You know it. I don't know, but you know. The children of wrath have godliness and are unclean. They are without God in this present world. That's a fearful thing. And I hope and pray that there's nobody in here this morning that is without God. But if you are, listen up. You're at the right place at the right time. Because throughout this verse, you're going to see that there is hope. Throughout these verses. So verses 1 through 3, also look at verse number 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Children of wrath. It's what we were. Number 2, let's look at what God did. Like, what did God do? Let's look at verse number 4 real quick. Verse number 4, those first two words. But listen, can you look, really look at those words and ponder on them for a minute? What do those two words say? But God. Not but Paul. Not but Bob. Not but Doug. You hear me this morning? Not but the priest. Not but the pastor. Right? Not but the missionary. But God. But God. Who is rich in His mercy. Let that just settle just for a little bit. Rich in His mercy. And what is mercy? I don't mind a little correlation talking back and forth. What is mercy? Somebody tell me. Not getting what we deserve. Amen. Do you think about that? What do we deserve? Think about it. But God, rich in His mercy, what God did for us, He loved us in His mercy. His great love, the Bible says, look at that. But God, who is rich in His mercy for His what? His great love. Not only was it love, but it was great. What makes that love so great? Have you ever thought about that? I did when I read that chapter or that verse. That's why God had me read the entire chapter of Ephesians chapter 2. So I could sit and think about that great love. Man, mercy, not getting what we deserve. You know His love for you is eternal? Think about that. His love for you is eternal. Jeremiah chapter 31. I might need a hanky. I'm going to start spitting. I'm kidding. Brenda and Kirk are like, oh no. Where did I say to go? Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, in verse number 3, His love is eternal. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Listen, His love is eternal. Do you know also His love is sacrificial? Right? We all know Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God commended His love toward us, right? While we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Is that not a sacrificial love? His love is not only eternal sacrificial, but it is also unconditional. Unconditional. You know, He loved you in your sin. Think about that for a minute. He loves you in your sin right now. He may not hear you when you're calling out to Him because of that sin, but He will hear the words, Lord, please forgive me. His love is unconditional in Romans chapter 8. We can go there. Am I making some sense, a little sense this morning? I pray and hope that I am, because I want to shout and rejoice with everybody in heaven. I just learned this morning somebody else got saved yesterday, and we can rejoice over that. Just ask this young lady down here who got saved this morning. You can say it. Isn't that exciting? Somebody we've been praying for to get saved, to get born again, to become a family, to become a family member, that now we can call sister. Man, there's nothing more exciting than that, than somebody getting saved. His love is unconditional in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is unconditional. Unconditional. His love is also personal. Amen. His love is personal to you. John chapter 15. His love is personal. I need another drink of water. His love is personal. John 15, verse number 9, it says, As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Boy, those are some good words. Continue ye in my love. You know, Jesus loved us who did not love Him. Jesus loved us who rebelled against Him. Jesus loved us who hated Him. Listen, but we loved our sin. But Jesus still loves you. Jesus still loved you. Amen? What God did. Verse number 4 said, but God. Amen? Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in His mercy, verse 4, for His great love wherein He loved us. Verse number 5, verse number 5, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together But God, even in our sin, even when we were dead in sin, hath what? Quickened us. Made us alive. That word quicken means made us alive together with Christ. That's what God did. He made us alive. He didn't wait until we improved our condition, if that makes sense. He didn't wait until we got better in our lives. Right? He didn't wait until we got rid of some of our sin. Listen, if you're lost in here this morning, listen, God is meeting you at right where you're at. You don't have to get better. You don't have to get gooder. You don't have to get rid of any of your sin. God came in and He's meeting with you right now in your sin. The Scripture tells us that even while we were in our sin, God quickened us. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. Do you see why Ephesians chapter 2 up to verse number 8 is so important? He made us alive. That's what God did. Not us, but God. Remember, verse 4 says, but God, He made us alive. He also raised us up and seated us in heavenly places, the Bible tells us. In verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That was God's doing, not yours, not mine. All God's. So we can see in the first three verses of this chapter what we were, right? In verses 4 and 6, we can see what God did. Right? How about verse number 7? We got to read verse number 7 too. Why He did it? Why did He do that? Verse number 7 says that in the ages to come, what are those ages to come? That He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus for the ages to come. That's why He did it. To show His grace through you. That makes sense. Because when people look upon us, they should be seeing who? Not us. They should be seeing Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why He did it. Why? So He can make His Son known. That's why we're saved, to make Christ known. That's why we go out and preach the gospel, to make Christ known. For the ages to come, so we can have another sister in the Lord. Or another brother in the Lord. Verse number 8. Verse number 7 says why He did it. Verses 8 and 9 and verse number 13 tells us how He did it. How He did it. Verse number 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. How He did it was by grace through faith. We already said what mercy was. So what is grace? Exactly. God's unmerited favor. Through faith. The faith of who? Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith. God's unmerited favor. Getting what we don't deserve. And it also says there, and not of yourselves. Did you hear what I said? And not of yourselves. You can't save yourselves. The Bible tells us that it is the gift of God. It is a gift. You don't earn a gift. You earn a paycheck, right? Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. The Bible says, for the wages Listen, you don't earn a gift, right? You earn a paycheck. For the wages of sin is what? So because of your sin, what is that wage? Death. But there's a word there, and that word says but. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in trouble. But remember verse number 4? But God, rich in His mercy. And then we have verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not what of yourselves. It is a gift. It is a gift of God that sent Jesus Christ down to this earth to be born of a virgin, to die for you, to shed His blood upon an old rugged cross, to be mocked and be ridiculed. As I think about all those Mennonites and Amish, and maybe even some people in here that are trying so hard and so earnestly trying to make their way to heaven, the Bible tells us in Matthew that what? Broad is the way. Religion's going to send you to hell. But narrow. I messed that whole verse up. But you get where I'm going, don't you? Romans chapter 3. Listen, you can't get there on your own. You're going to be like that hamster in that wheel, just running in circles, going nowhere. Romans 3, verse 25. But God, or whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Listen, please listen. I may say that a lot while I preach, is listen, because I want you to listen. Just as always, I got to tell my boys, hey, listen up, look at me. Listen, you can't get there on your own merit, on your own good. You can't. It's impossible. You gotta believe in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Hello. Says it right there. Right? Titus chapter 3. Titus is right after Timothy, 2 Timothy. Titus 3. Starting in verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, what? And by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is, isn't it true? So if we could work our way into heaven, you think God would put it in here somewhere? If we could work our way into heaven? I think He would. But guess what? You can't. The Bible tells us throughout the Bible, it's only through Jesus Christ. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 2. We're almost done. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace, right, are you saved? Through faith and not of yourself, there's the gift of God. That's how He did it. Not of works, that lest any man should boast. You can't get there by your own. But let's look at number verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye whom sometimes were far off are made higher by the blood of Christ. How He did it was by sending His only begotten, Jesus Christ, to shed His precious blood for you and for I. That's how He did it. He says there must be a way. And I know that human can't work a way, so I'm going to make a way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2 and 3. You have no hope. You are listening to your father, the devil. Get saved today. Don't wait. Ephesians chapter 2, you're still there? In verse number 10. 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made higher, made high, nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank you. Made nigh, you brought close by the blood of Christ. That fellowship. Let's look at verse number 10 and we'll conclude. What we are now. For we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Now the work begins. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, we don't work to get to heaven. When we get saved, that's when the work starts. If you read James, in the book of James, I believe James chapter 2, James tells us, look at, you want to see my faith? I'll show you my faith by my works, but you show me your works without faith. It's dead. It's not going to happen. So when you get saved, that's when the work starts. That's what we are now. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why do you do those good works? To glorify God. So when men look upon you, they can go, it's only because of Him. Not because of me, but because of Him. Amen? Listen. There's that listen again. I love you this morning. I want to spend eternity with everybody. I don't want one person to perish. So I'm begging and asking, if you are not saved this morning, if you are trusting in yourself to get to heaven, don't. Trust in Jesus Christ. He's the only way. We are going to have an invitation. And during that invitation, if you feel that you need to come forward because you have been trusting in any other way but by Jesus Christ, come forward. There are men and women in this church that will wrap their arms around you to make sure, listen, that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Why? Because we love you and we care about you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you made it so easy. You made it so easy, Lord, that I could get saved. Lord, I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you, dear God, for giving me a new life. I thank you, dear God, for sending me on a new path. Father, it's all because of you, of what we have.